Get Carmen and Yurko Pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The Washington football team is in the playoffs right now? Boy, the NFC.
They
have the tiebreaker, I believe, on Minnesota by virtue of a better conference record. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So they're 5-6. The Bears are
4-7.
4-7. So that means
in the hunt.
But there are only two teams worse in the conference, Seattle and Detroit.
I know.
And
what in the world?
The Bears have Seattle on their schedule, and they have the Vikings two more times. They are in the hunt.
Are they officially on the graphic in the hunt, or are they leaving the Bears off?
No.
Again. No, they're on
the They were on the graphic. In the hunt graphic yesterday.
None of it matters without a victory on the lakefront this weekend, right? None of it matters.
Against the Arizona Cardinals.
They have to beat the Cardinals this weekend.
I can't wait for Yurko's Bear Necessities on Friday.
And they have to beat the Packers in Green Bay. You have to win your next two games. Otherwise, they're not in anything. They're in a scavenger hunt around the city with everybody else.
Right. Okay?
They won't be in the playoff hunt in the NFL. The victory against Arizona is an absolute must on the lakefront. This is the Super Bowl for the Chicago Bears this coming weekend.
Well, the Bears are only 2-4 in the conference, so Yurko's not lying.
Yes.
I mean, if you think that this is doable.
And the rest of them are against conference opponents. All four of your AFC, five of your AFC opponents are gone, right? You played everybody.
They only have NFC teams remaining.
That's correct.
And when you go on this little bit of streak, guess what you start doing? Start racking those victories up, too. And the next thing you know, they'll be 5-4 in their own, in the conference.
Yeah, it's all conference games.
Yes. Yeah.
The two against Minnesota.
Yes.
Arizona, Green Bay, Seattle, and the New York Giants.
When I went on my diatribe last week.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
Where I talked, it was a diatribe. You can call it whatever you want. You can put a derogatory spin on it. Carmen, doesn't bother me. When I went on it, okay?
Yeah.
I knew that this was the scenario that was going to play out. But without a victory against Arizona, it doesn't make a difference.
No.
It's over. You've got to beat Arizona this week.
Yeah, I mean, it would drop you to 2-5 in the conference, for crying out loud,
It's no good. You have to beat Arizona this week.
I know Waddle's excited that the Bears are in the hunt.
Yeah, I don't
he's a big fan.
Tommy
loves.
He thinks they proved something on Thursday, and they're going to build on that momentum against the Lions.
Like I did.
He doesn't think it one bit.
Well, at least you've got a chip in a chair, Carm. Chip in a chair is what you have.
I'm going to play some Eddie Jackson sound here in a
second.
Let's hear
it.
Here's the latest power rankings, for what it's worth, Yurk, from The Ringer.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead, guess. Number one in the NFL.
I've got the Bears.
Oh, you want to guess where the NFL? Go ahead.
No. I'll go number one in the NFL. Number one in the NFL right now, the Green Bay Packers.
You got it.
I love my Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Number two would be, and I'm going to stay in the AFC, NFC. I'm going to go with Arizona.
You got it. Yurko's 2-2. Three, and I'll just give you a hint. Stay in the NFC.
I'm going to stay in the NFC, Carm. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay. Now your first AFC team at 4.
I am going to go 4. I'm going to shoot over to the AFC, if you don't mind. And I will go, New England Patriots.
Dude, you nailed the top 4.
Boom!
Can you make it a clean sweep of the top 5? Who's 5th in their latest power ranking?
5th, I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans.
Wrong.
Oh.
Tennessee, no, because they're too beat up right now. They're not even in the top 6. Yurko went 4-4, 4-5. Kansas City is 5.
KC,
Buffalo is 6. Let's see. Then we've got Baltimore 7, San Francisco 8, Dallas 9,
and
the Rams 10.
That is not a deep NFL, guys.
That rounds out your top 10.
No. So wait, did you not? They don't have the Bengals in their top 10?
They have the Bengals, I think, 12th. Yes, 12th. The Bengals are 12th in their power rankings. The Bears?
24th.
27th. Only the Seahawks, Jets, Jags, Texans, and Lions.
They're the least of the 4 win teams, then.
Yes.
Yes, they're the last of the 4 win teams. Not a believer. It's all right. That's why you got to win other games. Arizona, you beat Arizona, you move up to 21.
Yes, you do. You'd move up.
You beat the Packers, you move on up.
You'd move on up.
Now
moving on up.
Now what are you? What are you, 6-7?
16th.
You're six and seven. You know what you are? You're in the hunt.
The Bears are in the hunt.
Then they got Minnesota.
The way they scored 16 points against the Lions.
Did you see Dalvin Cook? And I know at 11:30 when we get our guy on, Jeff Meller, to tell us about who should we acquire this week.
The waiver watch.
So when we get him on, Dalvin Cook, he's got a labrum tear.
No, I thought they said it wasn't torn. Didn't Zimmer say it wasn't torn and that he's day-to-day?
It's compromised, Carm. Thinking about putting him on the list. It's compromised.
I mean, like, he's going to miss 2 weeks.
Guys,
he's
going to
miss
two weeks. That's okay. What I heard. Now, listen, right. Carm, the labrum's a suction cup on the shoulder.
Right.
Okay?
You've told us
What happens with the suction cup when it's just a little bit compromised? There's no suction.
No suction.
There's no suction, Carm. Yeah. And the longer you start playing with stuff like this, and this is what Baker Mayfield's got to worry about too, you've got an attachment that runs into the bicipital groove, okay? Mm-hmm. And that becomes worn and torn. Mm. Torn, worn, compromised, lack of suction. You've got a number of issues that start rearing their ugly head, okay? Mm. It's what happens. And when you wait a long time, I have a feeling the recovery is going to be a little bit longer too. Baker Mayfield, when he does have surgery on that shoulder, is going to have a 6-month recovery on that thing. That's the usual labrum recovery.
You know, like,
it's not his throwing shoulder.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. He's so beat half to hell.
Yeah.
Between the foot and the shoulder, and I know it's not his throwing shoulder, but still, I mean, like they at some point, don't they have to say you can't play anymore, Baker? Keenum's got to be better.
Remember Anthony Miller when his shoulder became compromised, right? They tried to put the harness on him, and then he couldn't go up with two hands. A receiver that can't play with two hands is not a receiver.
I don't blame Baker for not wanting to get hit right now. I mean, nobody wants to get hit, but I mean, like, everything he's dealing with, I'm shocked that they haven't just
and
sat
his
him
tendency,
down.
Carm, his tendency is not to take a hit on the throwing shoulder. Like when he lands, he does want to land on his right shoulder. He keeps landing on the left shoulder because that's what you usually do.
Jeez. And that's the shoulder that's hurt and it's all hard.
Maybe the Bears benefit by getting a Dalvin Cook that might not be 100% when they play him. That's a good thing for the Bears.
That's true.
Thank you.
Here's
Randy.
Thank you, Randy. Here's Eddie Jackson yesterday. This was talking about the booing and everything that's going on right now, especially the Fire Nagy chants. Did it break out at the Bulls game last night? I didn't know.
It broke out at the Illinois-Notre Dame game in Champaign last night.
I actually think they were saying Hire Nagy.
I don't think so.
No, I'm being serious because they're playing Notre Dame.
Oh, at Notre Dame.
I'm serious.
And it's on your screen. We could try and decipher if it's Fire or Hire.
Here, let's hear it. Okay, here. That's fire.
Yeah, I heard someone else said they were saying Hire Nagy.
No, that's Fire Nagy. Yeah. This is Eddie Jackson with thoughts on that.
I mean, we hate it, honestly. And, like, the fans got to understand that doesn't help anything. You know, y'all want us to play better, do better. That's not helping. You know what I mean? When y'all sitting up there and chanting that. But
it's not hurting.
You know, I get it. You know, the frustration. You know, Long Life Bears fans been going through this for a long, long time. So I understand it. But it's not helping the situation. You know, I feel like it's just making it worse. But for us, this is the time, we just continue to rally around each other and, you know, look upon ourselves to get this thing turned around and block out all outside noise.
Yeah.
It's honestly not supposed to help. Yeah, it's not hurting, though. It's not hurting either. Booing is not, if anything, it wakes you up to the fact that you're playing like crap. Okay? That's what it wakes you up to. You're playing like crap.
Yeah, he talked about that, too. Talking about having to win for Nagy to keep his job, if that's the mindset of the team right now.
I feel like we're playing for each other. You know, Coach Nagy, this is a team effort. You know, We Coach Nagy had our back since the first day he walked in here, so I feel like we owe it to him. And I feel like a lot of players feel the same way, that we owe it to him. And we owe it to Chicago to go out here and play our best ball. And like I said, it's tough, you know what I mean? Even though nobody's going to show it, but I'm pretty sure like that's like we come to your job and boo you every day or whatever the case may be, you're going to feel some type of way, just like the fans. Like we come to y'all job and boo y'all at what y'all doing, how y'all going to feel about it, you know what I mean? So for him, he's still human, and we still human. Nobody likes it, so we just continue to fight. You know, like I said, just block out the noise, continue to do what we do.
It's like the Seinfeld episode, Merck, where he went to the woman's office and heckled her because she was heckling him.
Right.
He said, boy, wouldn't that be the ultimate comics revenge, go heckle her at her office? And she didn't handle it so well.
Come on out.
Yeah, Eddie can come down here and
come
boo
on
it.
Down. Fine. Boo it. Boo the radio show. We'll be happy. Good luck. Go over a structure.
People boo us?
Go over a structure and start booing the iron workers and see what happens.
I hate that, though. That
it's dumb.
That trope is, come on. Like, the truth is, like, Bears fans are so frustrated. And we've been over this ad nauseum. It doesn't matter if fans stop showing up to Soldier Field because the Bears make money hand over fist from the television rights deal that they get before a game is even played every single season. But you know what? For the ownership, when you're hearing fan bases break out at different events all across the state, that actually, I think, opens. That's the one thing that might resonate with them, right?
Yeah,
is when you're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Remember, like Cap brought it up earlier this morning, when the Bulls hosted the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And on First Take, you've got
course,
a Fire Garpax chant breaking out.
Zach LaVine was on set.
Yes.
And they're chanting Fire Garpax.
You may not like it, but you know what? That actually resonates with management.
I think so. Now it's happening at college basketball games. That's Fire Nagy. That's not Fire Nagy. Yeah. Coach of the Year.
That was a spirited rendition.
Coach of the Year in 2018. Boy, it goes quick in the NFL, doesn't it, Yurk?
Spirited rendition of that.
Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
It's how it 2018. Happens.
What have you done for me lately, Carm?
Yeah, I know. You know, tomorrow, you know who's coming on? One of our all-time favorites. Do you know?
No.
He's one of our all-time favorites. Steve Mariucci.
Oh, Mooch is coming on.
Mooch is coming on tomorrow. Oh, like, God. Mooch knows. Yeah. He knows, right? I mean, like, he's lived it.
Yeah, he knows exactly what
one day,
like. Detroit.
You're the cat's meow, the next, you're
everybody
getting
fired. Everybody loves you. Everybody. The Ford family is talking about how great you are.
Right, Yurk? Think about his early success in San Francisco, right?
Oh, yeah. He was at California, too. You know that.
Oh, sure.
Golden Bears.
Yeah. But I know it sucks. It sucks when Matt Nagy's kids got to hear it. That you know, you feel for him a little bit. You feel for the kid. Matt Nagy's a grown man making millions of dollars. I mean, it is what it is. He's in a visible field.
I brought up the Moneyball example. You know.
Oh no, I know.
She
I know.
Knew the daughter knew that he was in trouble if they don't win games. I mean,
I know.
You don't have to be a brainiac. If I'm an architect and the building's going up and it collapses, I'm going, Dad, what the hell happened?
I think like part. I don't know. This is like a.
You might get fired, Dad. Your building just fell.
I don't think sentimental is the right word. I think like a soft part of me, I guess, that says I feel bad for the like for a kid to have to hear that about a parent. But I know what you're saying. I mean, you know, you got to understand the reality. And Matt Nagy, I'm sure, has talked to his kids about it. You know, and like any of us would in a similar situation, you feel for the kids a little bit. But you know, feel for Matt Nagy. This is his job. Unfortunately, Matt's failed at it. I wish it weren't the case, Yurk, because he seems very likable. He really does. I wish this weren't the case, but Matt Nagy has failed at his job thoroughly and completely. And when you fail at your job in the NFL this, you get fired.
You get fired. When you're an offensive genius and your team sucks offensively, do you know what happens? They go to the guy that's the offensive genius and say, "You're not such a genius, are you?"
That's right.
And then what does he do? He loses his job.
That's right.
That's it.
And so that's
wait,
where we are.
There's no sadness here. Cary Grove was right. The Cary Grove High School students were right. Yeah. And then they went and won a championship anyway. The principal wanted to go ahead and admonish his guy. Yeah. Oh, you guys are terrible, terrible, terrible. Now let's go win a championship. And they did.
And they did.
And guess what Cary Grove is known for? Their high school football championship team.
A house of winners.
Not those wonderful young derelicts that were going fire Nagy. No.
No, house of winners.
That's right.
Jesse Rogers will join us with a baseball update. Players are getting big money everywhere but Chicago. We'll talk to Jesse next.
We ain't got a penny to spend.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You know, I think it's officially a lovely day for the last day of November. 46 and sunny.
Oh, yeah.
That constitutes a lovely day.
You know, I took Thursday off.
I heard you took Thursday off.
Well, I mean, we worked last Friday. You've got to take a day off.
You wasted no time.
Theoretically, you've got 14 days to take the day or you lose it.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, is that in the handbook?
Oh, it's in the handbook, kid. You know, the good kid being the union representative reads everything.
Really?
Boy, Yurko really does. That is accurate.
All right. Well, then I'm taking Thursday off too, Merck.
There you go. Now you create yourself a headache.
I'm kidding.
No, he's
I'll
joking.
Take Friday off instead. No,
but
I'm
that's
just
where
joking.
I'm going to be. I'm going to be playing golf. I'll be slapping a little white ball around.
Are
again.
You really?
Yes, I am.
On December 2nd?
It's supposed to be 60.
Oh.
Which ball?
A little slapping white ball. A little white ball around.
It's a golf ball, right?
Golf ball it is.
You don't use the yellow ones?
Well, in this type of situation, the 80 compression ball is the one to utilize because it's hard and cold weather to compress. 100 compression ball.
Your game is that good that you're using different compression balls depending on the weather conditions?
That's right. I'll be bringing the aviator out.
What happens when you hit it, when the little duck hook?
The aviator. Oh, no. You still, same way. Same way, Carm. But the point is that you can compress an 80 compression ball in the cold weather easier than you can 100 compression ball.
I've been buying Pro Views for years. What a waste of money. Although Yurko turned me on to the Snell ball, which does save you $20 a box.
A dozen,
Yeah, it's pretty significant.
$20 a box, man.
And it's the
good
same ball.
Deal. Yeah.
Because the guy who owns the patent, Yurko told us that whole
I
story.
I listened to Penta 5 for TaylorMade.
Yeah. So I buy Snells.
Yes.
But still, it's $30 for a sleeve of golf, for a case of golf balls or a 12-pack of golf balls. Boy, I could play with a pine cone sometimes. It'd be just as good. What the hell am I wasting money for?
Sometimes I think the club's in my hand backwards.
Me too.
But I think we got about 20, 24 guys coming out to play. Should be a good skins game. Should be a good time. Yeah.
All right. Let's bring in Jesse Rogers. He's covering the baseball beat. I don't know what the hell he's going to do after tomorrow.
Jesse,
you're going to be covering labor issues, Jess.
You're just going to be taking the rest of the time off.
Are you taking December off?
January.
Same thing I did during the pandemic. A bunch of nothing.
That's true.
A bunch of nothing.
Well, let me ask you. January, February, this thing's going to run, right? I mean, this is going to be where everybody's drawing their line in the sand this year.
Yeah, but there's plenty of time before the season begins or even spring training. Now, I can't tell you for sure they won't lose some spring training time, but I'm highly doubtful they'll lose the regular season. They just lost a ton of money last summer, and that includes the owners. I don't think it's going to come to that. They can get this done. I think the union's playing the long game a little bit. They want to see that negative headline league locks out players come Thursday. And then eventually they'll get serious, both sides. So, look, nothing matters in December and January, right? I mean, there'll be a season and they'll figure it out. But they're just playing games right now.
So a lot of big free agents have signed. Some Boris clients. Corey Seager's a Boris client, if I'm not mistaken. Max Scherzer. Yeah. Is a Boris
Simeon.
Simeon's
too.
A boy. I mean, Simeon so he's is. Hit the jackpot with a few. Is Bryant going to sign or is he waiting it out?
I think he's waiting that out. It's not like up to him. I think it's going to be post-lockout for him. I think it's going to be post-lockout for Rizzo. But things can change quickly. I saw a report and it was true. Robbie Ray signed with Seattle 3 days ago. They didn't even have a conversation about it. And then it gets done in a matter of 24 hours. So anything can happen. But we are getting late, especially if you want to pass a physical and everything before the lockout. So from what I understand, Bryant and Rizzo, a couple of ex-Cubs, won't be signing until after the lockout ends. We'll see. There's 24 hours to go.
So it's not Bryant waiting it out? It's teams are – what's the holdup then on Bryant? I've heard Phillies, Mariner, like why is nobody
– Well, maybe he's not hearing what he wants to hear. You know, maybe Boris is going to try to play these guys off each other after the lockout ends. I mean, there's so many factors to it. Maybe Chris doesn't want to play in one city, is holding out hope for another, right? I mean, there's a lot that's going to go on during the lockout between teams. Like, teams can talk to each other. So who knows? There might be some trades announced afterwards. Then all of a sudden a team has a need it didn't see coming. I mean, I can't give you the rhyme or reason why some players or a lot of them are signing now and a lot will sign after. It's just timing on teams, the agent, the player, and you just don't know why exactly until after the fact.
What is the White Sox plan here exactly?
There's going to be more movement with the White Sox. Like, if you're a White Sox fan, I think you could be more optimistic about action this winter, whether it be before tomorrow or after the lockout. If you're a Cub fan, I think you're probably a little bit more worried the way things are going. The White Sox don't have to win the winter like the Rangers do. Let's make that clear. Teams that win the winter most of the time have to win the winter because they don't have a good team. Sox need to hit a home run in a couple areas still. I think they did fine with Kendall Graveman. I know Kendall Graveman well. I think he's much better as a setup man than a closer. Although, ironically, if you remember this sounding familiar, he was better as a closer with Seattle than when he moved into the setup role with the Astros.
It does sound familiar.
Yes, it sounds familiar. But I do think his stuff is better long-term as a setup man. So I think they made a good signing. They do need to address second base. And either DH or right field. And I do think they will. Just because they don't do it before tomorrow doesn't mean they won't do it, right? Kyle Schwarber might be waiting teams out as well. until there's a DH definitively announced in the NL. And so maybe he's waiting. That's another situation with the DH that some guys are going to wait on. Schwarber and Jock Peterson could be two of them. So there's a lot of moving parts. Just because the White Sox haven't done a lot yet doesn't mean they won't. Now, the Cubs, it does seem like they're going to work around the edges. It just they've indicated that. I don't know why some people got the impression they were going to spend a lot of money. All they said after the season was, we're going to spend, but then they added with wisely. When Tom Ricketts sent an email to season ticket holders, he said, we're going to spend, but we're going to do it thoughtfully, or whatever the word he used. So they've always qualified their spending with that. Look, they had their payroll is nothing, so of course they're going to spend. They have to field a team. So just because they picked up Wade Miley doesn't mean they're going to sign Carlos Correa. It just means they're going to spend enough to field a better team than what they had when the season ended. So, again, the Cubs are in more of that rebuild mode. The White Sox will add. They are not done.
Wilson Contreras is tweeting plane emojis.
Yeah.
So is he gone? Is that what that means?
What's happening?
I think it's a 50-50 call. I hate to give you a cop-out, and that's from someone that's in the know there. I think Yan Gomes is insurance. Hmm. If they hear the right offer for Wilson Contreras, he's absolutely going to be moved. I've been saying that since the end of the season, in the last portion of the season, after they sold off everyone else, I said, I think Wilson Contreras will be traded this winter. Now, trades don't always come to fruition. Like, you can plan on it. If it doesn't happen, then with the DH likely in the NL, Wilson can catch 90 games, DH for about 30 or 40 more, and that's how you get the most out of Wilson Contreras. But I do think Yan Gomes on a contender is a backup. Now, on this Cubs team, he might be a starter if they move Wilson, and what he'll do is a veteran bringing along a young pitching staff. So I think he's likely gone. I
do. 1 year of control left? Jess, 1 year of control left for Wilson?
Yeah, one more year.
2022, last year, that's what I thought.
Yep.
He'll fetch a nice little return, I would think.
Yes, absolutely. If you do it now or soon, you get a nice return. Now, that's a perfect situation, what I said. During a lockout, teams can talk to each other. So Jed Hoyer can take 2 months to field offers for Wilson Contreras, knowing he already has Yan Gomes in the mix. He's got him in the fold, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't trade Contreras after 2 months, all right, we'll see what happens with the two of them playing, and then you can trade Contreras later. Though, now you have those 2 months to figure it out. I guess the Yan Gomes signing to me feels like, especially for 2 years with a third-year option, Wilson Contreras is eventually gone.
Yeah.
Maybe it's July of 22. Maybe it's November. Well, it won't be November of 22 because he's a free agent. So a year between now and a year from now, he's probably going to be traded. But now Jed Hoyer has plenty of time to figure it out because he has Yan Gomes in the fold. So I guess, yeah, it's bad news if you're a big Wilson Contreras fan.
Did you think there'd be this much action, like to beat the clock, so to speak?
No. I thought the owners would squeeze the players a little bit and make them sweat it out for 2 months, the bigger names especially. So I am surprised by all this action. But at the end of the day, you know, I do think that the top-end players are always going to get paid. So the new CBA isn't going to impact them so much, other than maybe where the luxury tax threshold is. But if you're the Rangers, you're not up against the luxury tax threshold. So you're going to go after those big names. So I guess maybe I shouldn't be surprised, because at the end of the day with the new CBA, Corey Seager was still going to get a ton of money.
Sure.
Marcus Semien was still going to get a ton of money. The CBA is going to address the mid-tier guys if the union has any say to it. So I guess I shouldn't have been that surprised.
Will Correa sign before? So when is the actual lockout kick in? Is it tomorrow or Thursday?
Tomorrow at midnight, so midnight into Thursday.
Okay, so they still have a full day of business tomorrow then?
Yes.
I got you.
Yes.
Okay, I thought it was midnight tonight. My bad. Okay.
But if you sign guys tomorrow, they need to pass a physical.
Yeah.
You could wait till after the lockout to pass a physical, but that's, you know, what's the player going to do during the lockout? You have to worry about that. So I think most teams want to get this thing done today
to try to get
them
to pass
quickly pass a physical. You mentioned Correa.
You think Correa signs?
He was offered 10 years and $270 million by Detroit and turned that down. Now, I was told by execs, a lot of them thought he'd get well over $300 million. So maybe the Tigers were low. I think Boston and New York will be in the mix for Correa, or he goes back to the Astros with his tail between his legs. Now, the one thing he told me during the playoffs, and he, you know, I think he told others, he's open to a rebuild. So, I mean, if the Cubs want to come calling with $300 million, he'll sign. He'll sign. So he is open to that. But I think the Red Sox, I know Cora wants him. I know Alex Cora wants him.
I would think.
But he turned down 10 and 270, and then Seager got that, amount, and I think Correa deserves more.
Seager got that and then some, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think Correa is the better player.
Yeah.
He's the better defender. He's been healthier, although he's had some issues. Correa certainly had some health issues. So I think Correa still gets a huge, huge amount. I'm just not sure who. Seattle, New York, Boston, or maybe some mystery team.
All right. Jess, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk to you later. Yep. There's Jesse Rogers all over for ESPN.com. Meller's got the waiver watch for everybody coming up next.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
We're going to roll into week 13 here in the NFL. And you know what that means, Yurko. I know there's a week 18 now because there's 17 games. But we're getting real close to playoff time in fantasy football.
Yeah.
Mallory was saying one of the leagues he's in starts in week 14. Problem is there are still byes next week, including the Colts, right?
Right.
The Colts. I mean, in a playoff game, you have Jonathan Taylor. Could you imagine?
When the schedule came out, 18's the burn week, 17 championship, 16-15, right? 8-4-2.
Mellor's in a league that starts next week. Oh, isn't Aaron Rodgers on bye next week, too?
Oh, well, so Aaron, yes, this upcoming week, Aaron Rodgers is on bye.
This week.
So, I'm sorry, yeah, that Packers are on bye this week.
So
that's
most,
right, okay.
Most leagues have not begun their playoffs just yet.
Playoffs?
But there are some leagues that start it in week 14.
And if you had Jonathan Taylor, I mean, that'd be, you got to be arguing with your commissioner left and right right now.
Well, listen, I brought this up to plenty of people ahead of time. I tried to warn them at the outset of the season, make sure that you were on top of it. But, you know, I'm in a few leagues where I don't set the schedule. I'm not the commissioner. And I brought it up and to no avail. I actually deliberately drafted a team knowing that Jonathan Taylor was not going to be available for the first round of the playoffs. And so it was actually an auction league. I bought Christian McCaffrey instead. So I'm feeling really good about that one, obviously.
Yeah.
But no, it's problematic. This is where I think the NFL truly does a disservice because, I'm sorry, they can pretend like everybody, you know, is in for their team. And that's why the league is so popular because we live and die with our teams. But I'm
that
telling you,
true.
the reason that a game like last night, Washington and Seattle, has people really caring about it is for fantasy football purposes.
And gambling.
And so they do a disservice, I think, when they drag the buys out as long as they have. And yes.
They used to run these things in 8 weeks, 8-4-32. It was simple.
Why they can't wrap up the buys in week 12, I don't know.
And they did it in 7 weeks 1 year when they had 6-6.
Especially where there was a week where they had a buy. And then another week following where they didn't have any buys.
Well, and as we talked about yesterday, the one distinct advantage, though, is these things go later and later. I mean, like for a team like New England, who's got a week 14 bye, right?
Well, okay. But from a competitive standpoint, as a league, why would you want to give certain teams an advantage?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But it is an advantage.
Absolutely. No, it is. So this week, you've got the Packers, who are obviously a huge loss. Cleveland, because they've got a couple running backs who people rely on in Chubb and Hunt. Carolina now is on bye this week. Doesn't do any good for McCaffrey owners out there, but we can start with them. The waiver wire pickup.
Yeah. What are we looking at here?
I don't love Chuba Hubbard, but if you're a McCaffrey owner, you do need a replacement.
All right, because he's done, right?
He is. He's been placed on injured reserve. And when you go on a second time, you cannot return.
Come back. Yeah.
So Chuba Hubbard is back in the mix. He wasn't great for the previous weeks when McCaffrey was out, but he was still serviceable. And at this point, we're just kind of looking for running backs who are going to get touches. But I'll say this, Amir Abdullah has been in the mix, and especially in the passing game as well for the Panthers. So even though my preference is Chuba Hubbard, if you have the roster flexibility and spots to play with, it's not a terrible idea to grab both if you can. Or, you know, if you're in a waiver wire priority, I think both are worth a claim. So I don't. But it's just kind of like a shrug your shoulders and hope you get lucky here, because I don't think either guy on Carolina with a bye this week is a great, you know, is not a huge advantage to grabbing this week. The guy you do want to grab if he's available, and I think about 60% of leagues, Alexander Mattison. Clearly with Delvin Cook. Now, you mentioned, within the last hour or so, I've been seeing stuff about Mike Zimmer saying that, it's not torn.
And he's day-to-day.
But there's conflicting reports that believe he's going to miss the next 2 weeks. Wow. I'm going to, and based on what Yurko said, too, if you saw him fumble on the play, it looked like it was a pretty painful injury.
It looked very painful.
I would kind of be surprised if a running back with a shoulder injury is going to go out. Now, it's not impossible because we saw Emmitt Smith do it in a playoff game and be heroic, but I would be surprised if Delvin Cook plays this week.
Okay.
So Alexander Mattison. is the first clear-cut choice that I think you want to add in any league out there. Following that up, I guess, another injury for Eagles running back, Jalen Hurts is also dealing with an injury of his own. I'm going to say it again. I've said it over and over again. Boston Scott reemerges as somebody with Jordan Howard likely to miss yet another week. And also now Miles Sanders dealing with an injury of his own. And the biggest thing is if Jalen Hurts is not going to run near the goal line, and they're saying Gardner Minshew may be in the mix as a possibility if Hurts can't play. Oof. All of a sudden, I think Boston Scott has a little bit more interest as a runner. So that's a guy, somebody who I guess I would. We have to monitor DeAndre Swift's status, but Jamal Williams came in and we saw, when Swift left, Williams got the garner, got the majority of the carries and touches for the Lions. So I think Jamal Williams is somebody who for a week, especially if Swift misses, could be worth adding. In Tennessee, they also have a bye this week, so this isn't going to help you for this week, but if you're looking for the longer-term plays, Dontrell Hilliard ran for 100 yards, over 100 yards, just like Dante Foreman did. We've talked about Foreman already at this point. I still like Foreman more.
Just don't fumble.
The problem is that Hilliard, because he ran off two big runs on draw plays.
Yeah.
And I don't know how repeatable that is for fantasy purposes, but I know, again, everybody's looking for a running back at this point, so he could be somebody who's worth adding. I would say Matt Breida in Buffalo got a bigger workload on Thursday night for the Bills against the Saints, and Zach Moss was actually an inactive player in that game. So it looks like Breida could be in the mix with Devin Singletary going forward. There's another name, especially in PPR formats, who I think is worth adding. And then finally, in the running back position, Tevin Coleman for the Jets. I mentioned him last week. He's still widely available. He looks like he is probably going to be the guy who gets the most carries for the Jets going forward, with Ty Johnson, obviously, the passing down back in that situation. Outside of that, I mean, I don't know who else you really... I guess Rex Burkhead as well for the Texans is somebody... It's more about... I think at this point, people are just looking for running backs. I can't really give you a whole lot of... I can't really give you a whole lot of wide receiver names that are too interesting at this point.
Right.
I think I've given them out over and over again, the same guys. So I feel like I'm just repeating myself. At this point, if you haven't picked up Tim Patrick at this point, I don't know why I would convince you this week, but maybe there's somebody who you can still find some value in who's out there in some leagues. But at this point, it's just more about trying to throw darts at running backs who might get carries in the deeper league. So Rex Burkhead is somebody who in a PPR format especially has a little bit of value. So that, those are the names that really jumped out at me when I was looking through it, combing through it this past week. Mm-hmm. Outside of that though, Tyler Heinicke, I guess, as a quarterback, if you're looking for a little bit of help, and Taysom Hill.
They move the ball a little. Taysom Hill's getting all the first-team reps, it sounds like,
he
right?
is. I wouldn't feel good about starting him this week, but I think he's somebody, a name who you could add and then potentially watch how he does. And if he looks like he's actually, he's able to run the ball, then, he might be someone you want to start in a couple weeks from now. But I would not advise starting Taysom Hill this week unless you're absolutely desperate.
Yeah, and we'll know more tomorrow, I guess. But Murray and Hopkins, out of the bye, we expect them to play at Soldier Field on Sunday?
It seems like they're both, back. I guess I'll give you an actual name, even though there's no one who really looks too enticing for me. Kendrick Bourne in New England has been somebody who has been Mac Jones's favorite red zone target outside of Hunter Henry. So he's somebody who maybe can help you a little bit if you're really desperate for a wide receiver. But again, the Patriots have the bye week in week 14.
Yes, they do next
week. So I guess my biggest piece of advice for this week is take a look. And if you're starting the playoffs next week, get ahead of it. It's a good week to go ahead and make sure that you have a defense that you're going to use, because everybody's been rolling with the Patriots defense because they've been outstanding. Well, guess what? If your playoffs start next week, you don't have them. Same thing with Nick Folk. He's the best fantasy kicker in the league this year. You're not going to have him available for week 14. So the biggest thing is we still have two more weeks of buys coming, and with week 14 being the playoffs for some folks, make sure that you're prepping this week and getting ahead of it rather than waiting till next week and maybe finding everybody else who's in the same situation as you.
Salient advice. There you go, everybody. Good luck with fantasy going into week 13. Bowles with a very nice win last night, and Tiger Woods spoke this morning. When do you think he could be back on the golf course playing competitively? He'll answer that question next. This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Purdue, and more at Welsh Ryan this winter. Buy your tickets at nusports.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Woods making a little bit of a media tour for the first time since the accident, Yerk, speaking about what happened, his future. You know, look, the ship sailed long ago on Tiger catching Jack because of the drought and the injuries and the scandal and all that. Although the Masters win a couple years ago was sensational. He's going to probably end on 15 and come up three short. I think it would have been a safer bet had you said he's going to... He's tied with Sam Snead or Gene Sarazen, Mark? Sam Snead, I think, right?
Sam Snead, yeah, I think you're right.
Or Gene Sarazen, one of the two.
Sam Snead, the one that won the most tournaments.
He's tied all time for first on the PGA Tour with 82. Yeah. You would have thought he would have won. You know, he would have set that record at some point. Even that's in jeopardy now. I guess I could still see Tiger winning again because he's Tiger. You know what's amazing? Like, how much more we could have seen of Tiger if things went differently? Like, if his body didn't break down, if he didn't have the scandal... Tiger has played up to this point, guys, in 87 majors. Do you know how many majors Jack Nicklaus played in?
Jack Nicklaus played 46, 25, 20, 30 years, 120.
Jack Nicklaus played competitively in 164 majors. He's played in twice the amount. Like, think about that. For Jack Nicklaus, basically, when I was looking, York, he basically went like 35 years where he didn't miss a major championship. Like, let that set in.
When he was 20 to 55, yes. Something like that.
Like, he didn't miss a major.
Yeah.
Like, we have, in a way, been robbed of a lot of, like, see, Tiger will never get close to that number. He might not play in 100
majors. When was his last win? Jack Nicklaus.
86.
Masters in 86.
Masters in 86.
Right. When was Tiger's last win? The Masters?
In 2019.
19.
Right?
How old was he then in 2019?
44.
44? 40 something like that.
Yeah.
We can look it up.
Yeah. I mean,
we'll look it up
something
to see
like
how
that.
Old he is. Yeah.
So to me it was staggering to look at that when you go, wait, Jack played in twice as many majors as Tiger? I mean, like, it's incredible. And Tiger's not going to have that kind of run, York, you know, where he played. Look, Tiger's won a higher percentage of his major tournaments than Jack did.
Right.
But, Jack, think about it. Like, it's staggering to me that Jack ripped off, like, 35 straight years where he never missed a major championship. That's incredible. And by the end, he wasn't very, you know, very competitive. When you're late 40s and into your 50s, of course, he's not going to be competitive in those. But, I don't know, it was like, wow, that is a huge difference. Anyway, here was Tiger asked... do you have a tournament that you're targeting to play again competitively?
As far as playing at the tour level, I don't know when that's going to happen. Now, I'll play around here and there, a little hit and giggle. I can do something like that. I sort of like paying from, you know, the USGA suggests, you know, play forward. I really like that idea now. I don't like that the tee's on back, so I like play it forward. Come on, let's move it up. To see some of my shots fall out of the sky a lot shorter than they used to is a little eye-opening. But at least I'm able to do it again. That's something that for a while there didn't look like I was going to. But I'm able to participate in the sport of golf. Now, to what level, I do not know that, and you know, I'll keep you abreast of all of you guys abreast as progress continues to go on, whether or not I'll be out here and at what level and when.
Long way away from competing professionally in the PGA Tour. I mean, he basically just told you that. He's dealt with a lot, the back surgeries, right, all the other stuff, the ACLs. How much more difficult has this rehab been?
Yeah, this one's been much more difficult. The knee stuff that I had on my left knee, those operations were, I guess, one thing. Then that's one level. Then you had the back, that's another level. And then with this right leg, that was, it's just hard to explain how difficult it's been. Just to be immobile for, you know, 3 months and just lay there. And, you know, I was just looking forward to just getting outside. And that was, you know, a goal of mine. And especially for a person who has lived his entire life outside, that was a goal. And finally got to that point, went transitioned from wheelchair to crutches to now nothing. It's been a lot of hard work. I'm very thankful to all the surgeons and especially the nurses who are the unsung heroes through all of it, who were there, you know, by my bed and kept my spirits up, all my friends and family. There were some tough times in there. There were some really, really tough times, and pain got pretty great at times, but they helped me get through it, and I'm on the better side of it, but I still got a long way to go.
Yeah, those injuries only get tougher to rehab from the older you get, too. Body's not quite the same as it once was. So there's a little bit of Tiger as he was meeting the media.
Just one more thing, Carm. Yeah. They also said to him, someone, he was talking about pain. They go, are you in pain right now just sitting here? And he said, yep. And he's like, what hurts? He goes, my back, my leg hurts a lot.
Back, huh?
Yeah.
Jeez. Crazy, man. I'll tell you what didn't hurt. The Bulls dropping, what, $133 was it on the Hornets? I said the Hornets are not a good defensive team. It's worth noting.
Right.
Man, the Bulls are still top 10 in efficiency in both offense and defense. That's pretty impressive, man. And they look great offensively last night. Vooch coming to life. Like, you know, Vooch gets hunted in pick and roll. You saw that especially early in that first quarter, right, in that first half. I mean, they really hunt him in pick and roll. But you know how you make up for that? If you're going to go can 30 and grab 14 rebounds, you know, take the good and the bad, I guess, kid. And Billy Donovan, I mean, like, he needed to bring him back when he did in the fourth quarter because that thing was getting away.
Yeah, they had a 19-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and within a minute and a half it was down to 13.
Yeah, and then even like that, it was down to single digits, and it was like, whoa. And I'm like, they called timeout. I'm like, you better bring Vooch back, and he did.
Yeah. They called timeout at 10:29. I'm like, oh, boy, that was quick.
Yeah, the Bulls, man, they're so much, like, the word we keep using is fun. They're so much fun to watch. I love watching them offensively. It's just, it's so much more enjoyable than it's been, and the pace at which they play, and they're so much more efficient offensively. Yeah, and they still do a lot in the mid-range. You know, DeMar's a throwback. Even Zach will take some shots in the mid-range, but Lonzo moves the ball quick, and the versatility they have offensively when Vooch gets right, like, maybe that's the first step in Vooch getting right this year. That was the best he's played all year, certainly offensively. It was by far the best he's played all year. So nice win for the Bulls against a pretty good Hornets team, at least a very good offensive Hornets team. York and I have a wager on 50. It's going to come close, man.
It will.
I'm telling you, it's going to be real close.
It'll be tight, you know, depending upon the health of the players.
Yeah, it's going to be real close. By the way, the Warriors are trending for 74 wins. They won't stay on that pace, but how about the start the Golden State Warriors are off to without Klay at this point? 18-2 so far.
And without, I mean, Wiseman, who knows how good he is, but he hasn't played
yet. Yeah, no Wiseman, but in simple rating system. Wiseman, yeah, smart guy. You're funny.
No.
Funny guy over there.
By the way, how are sandwiches today?
Merck?
You know, I was supposed to order sandwiches today.
Remind me in the morning, all right? I'm going to put you into, write it down. Oh, by the way, I got my book yesterday. I got two more on the way.
Which book?
Your Merkin's book, Behind the Book. Behind the Glass, the book.com.
It's all right, Carmen. It's tough.
I got my book. It arrived yesterday.
Oh, I got yourself a little Hanukkah.
A little Hanukkah gift.
How about Silverman?
Silverman, the Sylvie video was hilarious.
It was a hit in the Silverman household.
Oh, those poor Braxton, children.
It's the second night of Hanukkah. Braxton and Mason are opening a present. They're like, what the hell is this? A book.
What is it, Odyssey and the Iliad? What are you giving me here?
Randy Merkin's book. I've heard these stories, Dad.
Oh, my heavens.
Braxton didn't really care. Mason was very upset.
Hilarious.
Oh, my. Dad? What kind of crap you giving us?
Thanks for listening, calling, and participating. Thanks to Jesse Rogers. Great work by Midway Jeff Miller. and Randy Merkin. And we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Enjoy the nice weather. Greeny's next, then Waddle and Sylvie, then Black and Abdallah. Tiger's got the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
A little hit and giggle. I can do something like that.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.